Let's turn in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Last week we began looking at one of three passages that I intend to go through which speak of the believer's assurance. Last week we looked at the full assurance of understanding. This week our subject is full assurance of hope. Full assurance of hope. Now, in Hebrews chapter 5, the writer was speaking of Christ, and he said up there in verse 10, he's called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. They were dull on learning about Christ. And so then he digressed a little from the subject of speaking about Christ. He began to speak about a warning. He began to speak about the danger of those who have tasted the Word of God but have not been made a partaker of the Word of God by God's grace. And so they fall away. But then he comes back around in chapter 6, down at verse 9, and he says, "But beloved, we're persuaded better things of you, things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak." He's encouraging them. He's saying, "But we believe you're true believers. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love," and here's what he's speaking about, "which you've showed toward his name in that you've ministered to the saints and do minister." They were very dull of hearing when it came to hearing about Christ, but they were very diligent when it came to ministering to their fellow believers. Now watch what he says. "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence that you're showing towards your fellow believers in that you're ministering to them. We desire you show the same diligence to or toward the full assurance of hope until the end." He's saying, just like you're showing this diligence towards your brethren, we desire you show the same diligence toward the full assurance of hope. That one to whom you're dull of hearing, that's who he's speaking about. He's not saying here, by ministering to the saints, you'll arrive at a full assurance of hope. He's saying, just like you have diligence toward the saints, we desire you have that same diligence toward the full assurance of hope. And then he goes into telling us, who is this full assurance of hope? He says, verse 12, "that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." And we'll pick up right there and we'll look at verses 13 through 20, and we'll see who is this full assurance of hope. Who is it that we're to give diligence to? Now, first of all, what is hope? Hope is an earnest desire for an object. You have an object in view, and it's an earnest desire for that object, and it's accompanied with an expectation of receiving that object. It's a desire for a desired for an object and the expectation of receiving that object. Now, the believer's hope is Christ. He's our hope. We have a hope that we will be with Christ in glory, conformed to His image perfectly, where we will be with Him for all eternity. That's our hope. And our assurance of that hope is Christ, in whom all God's promises to us are yes and amen. Christ is our hope, and He's the full assurance of hope. The reason most people don't have hope, we saw this last week, is they're looking in the wrong place. Our hope is Christ. That's who we have hope in. That's where we're going to have assurance of this hope. First of all, he gives an example of God giving a believer a sure hope. Look at verse 13. He says, "When God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee." Now, Abraham's given as an example because Abraham's the father of all believers. Now, every believer has a part in the same promise that God made to Abraham. In fact, every believer is the promise God made to Abraham. And if you want to turn there, in Genesis 22:16, this is where he gave the promise to Abraham. And this is the promise he's speaking of. It had two aspects to it, two parts to it. And in Genesis 22:16, well, in verse 15, it says there, "The angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time." You know who the angel of the Lord is. This is Christ. Anytime you have someone speaking to a sinner on behalf of God, it's the mediator. It's Christ, the angel of the Lord. And he speaks here to Abraham, and this is what he said. Verse 16, "And he said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore." Now you know who this seed is, these children that he's speaking of here. Each of God's elect, each one that Christ redeemed, each one regenerated of God the Holy Spirit is Abraham's seed. Turn over to Romans 9 and I'll show you that. Romans 9. He says there in Romans 9 and verse 6, he said there how that he had been speaking of how it appeared that there were many in Israel that didn't believe and what have you. And he says in Romans 9:6, it's not as though the word of God has taken none effect. We know better than that. God's word never returns to him void. It says, "For they are not all Israel which are of Israel." Everybody that's in that political nation of Israel are not necessarily the Israel of God. "Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they children, all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called." That is, here's what he means. That they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. That's that promise we just heard about over there. Not Ishmael. Why wasn't Ishmael? He was a son of Abraham, because Ishmael was the product of Abraham's works. He was born of the bondwoman. A picture of a sinner trying to save himself by works. And God said, Ishmael's got to go. But who was the promised seed? Who was the promised child? It was Isaac. He was promised of God. He was born of God. He was of God's making. Isaac was. And he said, "And in Isaac shall thy seed be called." Not Esau, but Jacob. Why? Romans 9:11 says that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, "The elder shall serve the younger." As it's written, "Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." Verse 16 says, "So then it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that shows mercy." God said, Christ our God, speaking to Abraham, said, "I will multiply your seed. I'm going to bring forth the children of promise." And so, the chosen of God, those redeemed by God, those regenerated by God, these are the children of promise. Now, that was the first part of the promise. Here's the second part of the promise. In Genesis 22:17, he said, "And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies." Now, Paul tells us who that seed is. Paul said in Galatians 3:16, he said, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed." He quotes the promise. He quotes from Genesis 22:17. "And to thy seed, which is Christ." Christ shall possess the gate of his enemies. And because Christ possesses the gate of his enemies and is victorious over all his enemies, therefore all the promised seed, all the elect of God, all the true spiritual sons and daughters of Abraham shall possess the gate of their enemies. because Christ does. Now, that was the promise God made to Abraham. And it was concerning us who believe here today. Now, notice, when God entered covenant with Abraham, God did two things. Look back at our text, Hebrews 6. Number one, God gave a promise to Abraham. When God made promise to Abraham, Hebrews 6:13. And then two, God also made an oath to Abraham. Hebrews 6:13 says, when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. God could swear by no greater. Christ could swear by no greater than himself. He's God. There's none above him. So he swore by himself. Now, when he did that, God laid himself under a double obligation. Number one, he gave Abraham his promise. And because it was concerning all the spiritual sons of Abraham, concerning you who believe, he gave us a promise. And then two, he entered into an oath. He laid himself under a double obligation. He promised and he swore by himself. He swore by himself. Verse 15 says, and so, after Abraham had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. I showed you Thursday night, Abraham believed that God could quicken the dead and that God could call into existence things that didn't have an existence. That's what Romans 4:17 tells us. And that's how he made Abraham a father of many nations. He quickened Abraham from the dead. He called into existence a new man in Abraham that didn't exist. And that's how he made you a child of promise. That's how he makes children of promise. And so Abraham was fully persuaded that what God promised, God was able to perform. Do you see where the assurance for Abraham was? It was in God who promised. It was in Christ who promised. That was the assurance of his hope. Do you see that? That was the assurance of his hope. Christ who promised and swore by himself. Now look here. Secondly, God will have you who believe. He's going to have us who believe to understand why he added his oath to his promise. Why did he do that? Why did he add an oath to his promise? Look at Hebrews 6:16. He gives an earthly example. For men verily swear by the greater. And an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. When we make an oath, we swear by the greater. You take, for instance, you go into a court of law and you're going to testify. And you make an oath before God that you'll tell the truth. And when you make an oath, when a man goes under oath before God, that's confirmation that he's going to tell the truth. So that ends all strife. That's the end of all doubting because he's sworn by the greater. All right? So he says, by the same token, that's why he added his oath to his promise. That's why he made this oath and added his oath to the promise that he made to Abraham and to you and me who are his spiritual sons and daughters. Look here, verse 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. In the beginning, way back there, just think about this now. Way back there in the beginning, when God made a promise to Abraham, God went above what was necessary. And he did it for the heirs of promise. That's what he said. He's willing more abundantly to show to the heirs of promise. God was promising to give Abraham heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Children, that's what he was promising to give him. And for the children that he promised to give Abraham, he went above just making a promise and confirmed his promise with an oath. He did that for us who believe him. Why? So that we have the full assurance of hope. All right, look. What was God willing to show us? Verse 17. wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel. So He confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. God was showing us His immutability, the immutability of His counsel. Immutability means unchangeableness. God made His promise, and then God confirmed that promise with an oath. So that when we hear the promise of God, we realize in both of these, in His promise and in His oath, it's impossible for God to lie. Now, God's counsel by itself, His decree by itself, that would have been enough. Because it's impossible for God to lie. All He had to do was say, Abraham, I'm going to do this. That's all He had to do. The Scripture says God's not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. Hath He said, and shall He not do it? Hath He spoken, shall He not make it good? Nobody can stop Him from bringing to pass what He's purposed to do. So that would have been enough. He declares the end from the beginning, from ancient times, the things are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I'll do all my pleasure. That ought to be confirmation enough. That ought to be assurance enough to us, brethren. God promised. God promised. God given His word. That's enough. That ought to be assurance to us. And it is. But that ought to be enough. But God went above that. He went beyond that and He confirmed it by an oath. When God swore by Himself, what He was doing there is God made Christ His Son the surety, our guarantor that this was going to come to pass. He didn't put it in our hands. He didn't leave it in Abraham's hands. He put it into the hands of His Son. And He made His Son the surety. And this happened when Abraham offered up his only son. Remember that? That's what had just happened in Genesis 22. And it was Christ who said, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And this was immutable also. This oath was immutable. And we see that on the cross. When you look to the cross, you see that this oath was unchangeable. Because all the blessings that God would bless His children with would be blessings that He could only give us after God had settled His own law and God had satisfied His own justice and God Himself had made it so that He would get all the glory as being the justifier of all this promised seed. And just as Abraham believed that God would provide Himself a lamb, on the cross we see God provided Himself the lamb. And the promise was in Christ. And because it was in Christ, and unchangeable, immutable, whenever Christ went to that cross and was made sin for His people, God did not spare His own Son. Listen to the Scripture. Romans 8:32 says, He that spared not His own Son. Why? Why didn't He spare Him? Because He promised and he added an oath to it. And it's impossible for God to lie. So He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Because He promised He would. He promised, and He backed it up with an oath, saying, surely I will bless thee. I'll multiply thee, and I will bless thee. And so now, because Christ took the sin of all those that He went to the cross for, all those for whom He died, with Him, with Christ, God's given Him all the spiritual blessings. First and foremost, they all go to Christ. He's the firstborn among many brethren. And all these blessings go first of all to Christ. And with Christ, He gives the same blessing to all those for whom Christ died. He delivered Him up for us all, and with Christ, He gives us freely all these blessings in Christ. He gives them to all His people for whom He died. free justification, free righteousness, free sanctification, free preservation, free resurrection, free glorification. Everything that God has for His people is given to us freely in Christ, because God promised it, God backed it up with an oath, and God can't lie. And so He spared not His Son. Now, believer, you who are God's promised seed, in Christ the promised seed, you have two immutable things in which it's impossible for God to lie, so that we might have a strong consolation. Who have fled for refuge, lay hold upon the hope set before us. It does not get stronger than this. Our assurance is no stronger, it can be no stronger, than God's promise and God's oath, sealed up and accomplished in the blood of His own Son. It cannot be more sure than that. Now, thirdly, who is this strong consolation? Who is this hope we fled to and laid hold of for refuge? It's Christ. It's Christ our surety. It's Christ our Savior. He's our hope and He's our expectation. He's our assurance of our hope. Look at verse 19. Which hope we have. Now I want you to see this. Where's our hope? Where is our hope? Our hope is in two places at one time. Our hope is within us, and our hope is at God's right hand within the veil. Look here. Verse 19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. That is, into God's presence in the holiest of holies. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He comes back around to where he digressed from back up there in Hebrews 5. He said, I've got to tell you about Christ, the high priest, but you're dull of hearing. You've got all this diligence to minister to the saints. And we're proud for that. We're glad for that. We're assured by that you're really true believers. But we desire that you show the same diligence toward the full assurance of hope, right up until the end. And he says, now let me tell you who that full assurance of hope is. It's God who promised. It's Christ who promised. It's Christ who sware by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I'll multiply thee. And that hope we have dwells in us who are born of His Spirit. And that hope we have is our forerunner who's gone into that veil where our hope is seated at God's right hand. Even Jesus, that high priest, forever after the order of Melchizedek. Christ is our strong consolation, brethren. Listen to the Scripture. 2 Corinthians 1:5 says, as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you're partakers of the sufferings, so shall you be also of the consolation. It's Christ, our assurance. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, all the promises of God are in Him, yes, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God. That's 2 Corinthians 1:20. That means that what God said to Abraham in Genesis 22, He was saying in Christ, the angel of the Lord spake and said, the Lord said. The angel of the Lord spake, Christ spake, and He said, this is what God is saying. And all the promises of God to His people are yes and amen in Christ. There's no maybes about it. It's not that Christ did all He can do. Now He's waiting on some poor, deluded sinner to do something. No, brethren, our assurance is Christ did it all. And Christ is doing it all. Christ is, He's begun a good work in you, and He's going to continue that work until the day He returns. This is the assurance of the believer. And Christ is our hope. Look here. He's the anchor of our soul, sure and steadfast, and He's our hope that's entered within the veil. Listen to Psalm 42:11. Psalm 42:11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Do you get cast down? I'm preaching this message because I know you get cast down. I get cast down. And I hear folks say, I don't have assurance. Where are you looking for assurance? You're not going to find assurance in yourself. You're not going to find assurance in how you minister to the saints. You're not going to find assurance in looking back over the ages to some place where you walked an aisle or some place where you gave your heart to Jesus or something like that. That's not where you're going to find assurance. You're going to find assurance at the right hand of God, Christ the Lord. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. That's what the writer's saying here to them. You want the full assurance of hope? Hope thou in God. He's the one that promised. He's the one that backed it up with an oath. He's the one who came and fulfilled the promise. He's the one who went to the cross. He's the one who laid down his life for his people. He's the one that's risen and entered into the presence of God. He's the one that's entered in the heart of his people by whom we have hope in our heart. And he's the one, brethren, who is this expectation. He's the assurance that our hope will be realized, that we will come into his presence. I shall yet praise him who is the help of my countenance and my God. Hope thou in God. Listen to Psalm 62:5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. My assurance is from him. He's my hope and he's my assurance. He's my hope. He's the desire for which I hope. And he's the expectation of my hope. He's the assurance that my hope will be a reality. I'll be with him one day in glory. So we to whom God's made his everlasting covenant, we have hope that we'll be with Christ in glory in perfect righteousness. And Christ is the assurance that we shall have our hope. And even better than all this, or adding to all this, Christ our hope, as our forerunner, has already entered within the veil into God's presence as our high priest. As our high priest. That means, as John said, when you sin, don't sin. Don't sin. Avoid sin. Put off the old man, put on the new man. Try your best not to sin. When you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the mercy seat. He's the place where God will meet with us and forgive us our sins and cleanse us of our sins and receive us in his righteousness. And because he's there interceding for his people, he's going to have what he prays for. He's going to have what he petitions the Father for. He's got nail prints in his hands that says, this is the purchase price I paid for my people. They're mine. I bought them. They belong to me. And I want them. And he'll have them. He'll have them. So, listen to this. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. That's Psalm 146:5. Listen to Jeremiah 17:7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. You see what I'm saying? The hope of a believer is not a wish. It's not a wish. It's not just maybe at the end my good will outweigh my bad, or it'll all work out and I'll be with the Lord. No, the Lord is our hope. He is our hope. If I say I don't have assurance of hope, I'm saying I don't have Christ. Because he's my assurance of hope. You see what I'm saying? Look to him alone. That's what he was telling them there. He's telling them he's the one to look to. He's the one to look to. And he's the one who will bring you to himself. Go to him for sure, full assurance of understanding. We saw that last time. And go to him for full assurance of hope. All right. Amen.